Thank you. Thank you. His Divine Grace, Srila Abhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai, the Holy Appearance Festival of the Original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadama Jam Dadati Svapanantikam Vandeyaham Sri Guruha Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitan Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiv Shakanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripasandhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Nitinamine Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshutarine Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shivarshabhanavi Devi Deitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Jvala Primadhyaya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gaura Vani Shimute Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddhapas Dhantudvantaharine Nityananda Vaduttendur Vasudha Prana Vallabha Jhanava Jivita Patihi Krishna Prema Prada Prabhu Padmavati Sutaha Shriman Shachinandan Purvajjaha Bhavan Matto Jagatrata Rakta Gaura Kalevara Chaitanya Krishna Chaitanya Gaurango Dvijanayaka Yatinam Dandinam Chaivanashinam Chashiromani Raktam Bharadara Shriman Navadvipa Shuddhakara Prema Bhakti Pradashchaiva Shishachinandanastatha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So today is the very most auspicious occasion of the appearance of the Original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. It is especially auspicious because Lord Krishna is the only personality of Godhead who manifests himself in his original dham, Golok Vrindavan, one of himself for every one of the living entities there. This is how much he loves all of his creation, all of the living entities. So we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada actually brought this science to the West, and by his unlimited, unfathomable mercy, we are today celebrating the holy appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Kalachanji. So, today it is especially incumbent on us to deepen our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is the day when actually, this day is called the Mother of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Janmashtami is actually the Mother of Devotion. She is the one that can bestow upon us pure love of Godhead, pure love of Krishna. And this is the day when we actually meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We meditate on all of his energies, so that we may gain the strength, so that we may have the mercy to reciprocate with him, with real love, with pure love. And we're very fortunate that today the temple room and of course the altar has been decorated so nicely that, naturally speaking, our feelings towards the Lord can become easily manifest in the deepest loving mellows. So today I'm going to read from what is called the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Sri Srila Kavi Karnapura, who actually wrote about this, the sweetest description of Janmashtami Leela. This very important work has been translated by His Holiness Bhanu Swami and Subhag Swami and published by Mahanidhi Swami. So please hear very attentively. Now we will discuss the truth. This is from the second chapter of the book. Now we will discuss the truth about the transcendental birthplace of Sri Krishna Bhagavan and the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna. Once upon a time, Bhumi, the predominating deity of the earth, felt overburdened by the different demons posing as members of the royal order. Feeling aggrieved upon seeing her miserable condition, the lotus-born Brahma appealed to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, the maintainer of the universe, saying, "Please deliver Goddess Bhumi, who is feeling greatly distressed by these demoniac kings. Only you can remove this terrible influence from the earth." The time for an appearance of the Lord coincided with two internal desires of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Lord Krishna's personal desires that he also had, that he wanted to manifest on planet Earth. First, the Lord desired to descend on Earth to increase the fortune of Yashoda and Nanda, his beloved parents. Also at that time, Krishna wanted to relish the sweet mellow of smarrasa, or paramour love, while enacting his worldly pastimes. For these two reasons, the Lord appeared within the material creation on Bhuloka, the earth planet, along with his parents, friends, and other living, other eternal associates. Excuse me. There's a very important verse. A very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshite Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattva Darshanaha. That actually one of the most important reasons why we surrender to the spiritual master, why we accept a bona fide spiritual master and attentively hear from him, inquire from him submissively, and serve him submissively, is that the spiritual master is actually tattva-darshi, has seen the absolute truth. So this is why we should hear from these personalities. Srila Kavi Karnapura, was such a very, very powerful spiritual master, a very, very exalted devotee of Krishna. He himself had seen Krishna. So he can tell us about the pastimes of Krishna in a way that would otherwise not be understood. Otherwise, from the Bhagavad Gita, we know that there are two principal reasons why the Supreme Lord also advents. In the Bhagavad Gita also it is stated there are two principal reasons. What is that verse? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That he actually comes to give pleasure to his devotees, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, and actually to annihilate the demons. But here, two more confidential reasons are being given. And that can only be given by a person who is a true tattva-darshi. Therefore we hear from scripture such as the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Another distinction of Lord Krishna's earthly pastimes is that when the eternally liberated gopis such as Srimati Radharani, Chandravali and others appeared, the Shrutis personified also appeared in the homes of other gopis, because they had previously cultivated the desire to serve Krishna as Braja gopis. Scriptures themselves, because they glorify the Supreme Lord. So when you glorify the Supreme Lord, what is going to happen in your heart? Your love is going to increase for the Supreme Lord. And you're going to desire the association, the intimate association of the Supreme Lord. Who, other than the gopis, can have more intimate association with Krishna? The gopis have the most intimate association. So they actually also appeared as Braja gopis, the Shrutis themselves. The Dandakaranya sages, upon seeing the Swakiya Bhava, or the sweet conjugal relationship of Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, desired to have the same relationship with their Lord Madana Gopal. Upon attaining perfection in their sadhana, they achieved the fortunate position of appearing as gopis in Vrindavan. Yogamaya, Lord Krishna's pastime potency, who possesses unlimited abilities, appeared invisibly in Gokula to arrange this and perform other difficult tasks on behalf of the Lord. This is very true about devotees. Devotees are not afraid of undertaking difficult tasks on behalf of the Supreme Lord. This is their way of showing their love to the Supreme Lord, that they will take on tasks that are very difficult. And we all know that the Hare Krishna movement at the phase that it is in now is not extremely popular in the world. It is not a great thing to be a devotee. In fact, a lot of people hide their devotion. They don't tell others that they're real devotees. They don't show their tilak, they don't show their sikha like that in public, because they know that people are generally very antagonistic. But yet we are members of the Hare Krishna movement. It is a very difficult situation to be in at the present time. But it is the love of the Supreme Lord that powers us to become members and to undertake these difficult tasks. Sri Nanda, Yashoda and others appeared in Vrindavan, Mahavan, for the Lord. The gopas, the gopis and other eternally liberated associates appeared after the Lord. Then those who had attained perfection by sadhana, namely the Shrutticharis and Municharis, took birth in Vrindavan. So here's the order being given. Learning of Krishna's imminent appearance, the earth personified, feeling like a wife, happily greeting her husband after a long separation, immersed in unlimited joy. Now the earth planet was unlimitedly blissful. At the time of Krishna's birth, the general mass of people tasted the inner bliss that devotees forever relish. Auspicious signs abounded everywhere. As Vishnu's conch shell, Panchajanya, opens in a clockwise fashion, similarly auspicious sacrificial fires glowed in all directions. Pure, gentle breezes brought a refreshing coolness like devotees who satisfy and sanctify everyone with their calm, sweet, and affectionate behavior. This is very true that when it talks about how Panchajanya opens in a clockwise fashion, you know, the movement, clockwise movement, it actually, if you keep moving it up and you get it above your head, it becomes anti-clockwise, you know. So the idea is that when our consciousness is high, then everything appears to be properly situated. When our consciousness is low, then things don't appear to be properly situated. So the same clockwise fashion, when you keep moving it up, it becomes anti-clockwise. So when your consciousness is below, then everything seems anti-clockwise, or anti-correct. And when it is above the situation, then it is in a correct situation. It's very amazing how everything in scripture fits perfectly with reality. It's just amazing. The whole atmosphere becomes as completely purified as the heart of a devotee. Look at the examples that are being given here. The whole atmosphere becomes as completely purified as the heart of a devotee. See how much Krishna loves his devotee, that the explanations are given in relation to the devotee, because the devotee is the mark of excellence. This is what separates Krishna from all other Vishnu tattvas, from all other supreme personalities of Godhead. That Krishna's devotees are unparalleled. Krishna's devotees are unparalleled. The devotees once again found peace and prosperity in worshiping the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Fruits fill the jubilant trees. But the envious demons exhibited various inauspicious signs of degradation, such as rapidly aging bodies and symptoms of imminent death. In Kali Yuga, as we know, we have rapidly aging bodies and symptoms of imminent death. The desire vines of the celestial denizens seem to be hanging in the air as if eager to produce fruits. At that time, all the directions became felt as pure and joyful as the mind of a devotee. Here we go again. One more example. So again, it says that at that time, all directions became felt as pure and joyful as the mind of a devotee who has received the mercy of Lord Hari. Just as gems, mantras, or medicines can remove a poisonous disease from the body of a man, the advent of the Lord relieved the world from the contamination of material existence and the sinful effect of the demons. Happiness gradually replaced the distress of gentle persons. Happiness gradually replaced the distress in everyone's hearts. This idea of gems, mantras, and medicines. It is said, money, mantra, and oshadhi. These three will answer any poisonous situation, any bad situation in the material world. These three things can solve. Money, mantra, and oshadhi. Money is gems, mantra is the mantras, and oshadhi means medicines. These three combined. So we can see how that they actually emanated from the spiritual love that the gopis had for the Supreme Lord. Because these come from actually the 64 arts that are practiced in the spiritual world by the gopis in their expression of their love for Krishna. It's very amazing. Only very, 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 very few of those arts are present on this world. The bulk of them are not seen in this world. And if they were seen in this world would actually become Golok Vrindavan. That is how great these arts are. The bodies of all creatures manifested extraordinary beauty and youthful vitality. This is the example of what happens when the Supreme Lord comes. Because sometimes people say that there is such and such Bhagavan in India or such and such Bhagavan somewhere else, you know, and people call themselves Bhagavan so and so. But we can see that the people around them have lost their vitality and beauty. So when people are losing their beauty and vitality, that is proof that such a person is not Bhagavan, they're a demon, but they're calling themselves Bhagavan, or their followers are calling them Bhagavan. When Bhagavan actually appears, when the Lord actually appears, then all the people around them, all the creatures, including the insects, everyone, they all start manifesting extraordinary beauty and youthful vitality. This is the proof that the Lord is there, actually. And we can see that when we came to the Hare Krishna movement, we suddenly started feeling more vital. There's more vitality. Everybody's jumping more, dancing more. They're looking more beautiful. They look young. The faces look very bright. This is the effect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Men felt extremely joyful and displayed virtuous qualities. Otherwise, generally, of course, as you know, men can be real rascals. Throughout the world, people behaved cordially and interacted amicably. Happiness twinkled in everyone's eye. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, which completely destroys faults and doubts, an auspicious, favorable, obstacle-free time appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon in Bhadra month. Just at that sweet moment, the Rohini nakshatra, along with the good qualities of the moon and an auspicious conjunction of stars called Ayushman, appeared in the sky to give shelter to gentle persons. The moon god, because the moon dynasty is whom dynasty Lord Krishna appeared in, has 28 principal queens. His main queen is called Rohini. So she herself appeared because now Krishna is appearing. So she had to appear. As the living entity comes out of the womb of his mother and the moon appears on the lamp on the lap of the eastern direction, Yogeshwara Shri Krishna, the personification of complete bliss, appeared amidst great festivities. Because this is in Gokul, we're talking about what's happening in Gokul. As the moon appears in the lap of the eastern direction, which is like a beautiful bride, Krishna manifested the wonderful pastime of his appearance out of his love and compassion for the conditioned souls. Due to austerities performed in previous lives, Vasudeva and Devaki received the opportunity to momentarily relish parental affection for Lord Sri Krishna when he appeared before them in his form as Vasudeva. This is simultaneously Krishna is appearing in Gokul and in Mathura. In Mathura is appearing as Vasudeva, the four-handed form. Thereafter, in fear of Kamsa, Vasudeva brought Vasudeva Krishna to Gokul. There, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Govinda before Nanda and Yashoda. His eternal parents, who have been smothering him with the sweetest form of parental love since time immemorial. The four symbols of Vishnu, the Shankha, the Chakra, the Gada, and Padma, adorned his hands and feet. The flute, flower garland, and Kaustubha Mani, although present within him, had not yet manifested. In fear of cruel Kamsa, Vasudeva decided to transfer all his wives except Devaki to Gokula. He sent Rohini to the house of Brajarajananda. That's Nanda Baba. By the sweet will of the Lord, Yogamaya arranged for the seventh child of Devaki, or Balaram, to enter the womb of Rohini. As a result, Balaram appeared in the home of Brajarajananda before the birth of Krishna. Lord Hari, who is bliss personified, appeared in the home of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Vrindavan, for three reasons. First, to engage the self-satisfied sages in devotional service. Second, to please the devotees by performing the sweet transcendental pastimes. And finally, to relieve the earth's burden caused by the demons. At the time of his majestic birth, Krishna employed his inconceivable powers to appear in a body of eternity, bliss and knowledge, Satchidananda. Everyone in the maternity room swelled with joy upon seeing the Lord's exquisite transcendental form that looked like a creeper of beauty. Mother Yashoda resembled a lake of spiritual ecstasy in which a brilliant blue lotus of personified bliss had appeared. Description, huh? What a fantastic description. Mother Yashoda resembled a lake of spiritual ecstasy in which a brilliant blue lotus of personified bliss had appeared. Jai. Shri Radha Kalachanji ki jai. Neither the wind nor the bees relished the fragrance of that blue lotus. That unborn lotus was never touched by the waves of the modes of nature. Even Lord Brahma could not see it. What to speak of ordinary men? After Yashoda and her family members fell asleep in the maternity room, Hari cried beautifully like a newborn baby. His crying sounded like the Mahavakya Omkara announcing the auspicious arrival of his pastimes. Omkara is a transcendental vibration that had previously emanated from the mouth of Lord Brahma. When the ladies of Vrindavan heard the sweet sound of Krishna's crying, they woke up and ran to see the Lord. With the mellows of their matchless overflowing affection, they anointed his body. The natural fragrance of Krishna's body smelled just like musk. After the ladies bathed Krishna, his sweet ambrosia, he looked clean, cleansed and beautiful. It should be with sweet. I think it's with sweet ambrosia. So after the ladies bathed Krishna with sweet ambrosia, he looked cleansed and beautiful. Then they smeared his body with fragrant sandalwood pulp. The presiding deity of the house sent a champak flower resembling the flame of a lamp into the maternity room to worship the ornament of the three worlds. That's Nanda Baba. He sent that champaka flower. With the strength of his little arms, delicate as the tender leaves of a tree, Krishna made all the lamps in the maternity room look like a garland of lotus flower buds. The ladies of Vrindavan saw baby Krishna like a blossoming flower made of the best of blue sapphires, or like a newly unfurled leaf of a tamal tree. Krishna looked like a fresh rain cloud decorated with the musk tilaka of the goddess of fortune of the three worlds. The ointment of the greatest auspiciousness lined his eyes. His presence filled the maternity room with good fortune. Although a mere baby, Krishna had a head full of curly hair. To hide the unique signs on his hands, the goat, the fish, the conch, etc., the Lord folded his delicate, petal-like fingers into his lotus palm. At that time, Krishna laid on his back with his eyes closed. The pastimes are switching simultaneously between Mathura and Vrindavan. So sometimes you'll hear the Mathura part of the explanation, sometimes you'll hear the Vrindavan part of the explanation. Mother Yashoda awoke amidst the joyous chattering of the elderly gopis. Leaning over the bed, she admired the gorgeous son. But upon noticing her own reflection on Krishna's body, she imagined it another woman. Thinking that a witch had assumed her form to kidnap Krishna, Yashoda became bewildered and yelled, "Get out of here! Go away!" Spontaneously, she cried out to Nrisingadev to protect her precious son. Beholding Krishna's tender face, Yashoda showered tears of affection that looked like an offering of a pearl necklace. Mother Yashoda is crying out to Lord Nrisingadev, her own son. Yashoda saw Krishna's body as a mound of dark blue musk, softer than butter churned from the milk ocean. Overflowing with nectar, his charming body appeared like the foam of milk. But being dark blue in color, it seemed the foam was full of musk juice. Admiring the supremely delicate form of her son, Yashoda worried about his safety and feared the touch of her body might hurt his tender body. As she leaned over the bed, Yashoda bathed Krishna with the milk dripping from her breasts. The elderly gopis instructed Yashoda how to caress the baby in her lap and affectionately pushed the nipple of her breast into Krishna's mouth to feed him. Due to Yashoda's intense love, personified bliss flowed from her breasts as steady streams of milk. When milk sometimes spilled out of Krishna's bimba fruit red lips onto his cheeks, Mother Yashoda would wipe his face with the edge of her cloth. After feeding her son, Yashoda gazed affectionately at him in wonder. She saw her child's body as made of dazzling blue sapphires. His mouth resembled a red bimba fruit, and his hands and feet looked like exquisite rubies. Krishna's nails shone like precious gems. In this way, Yashoda thought her child was completely made of jewels. Then she perceived that his naturally reddish lips looked like the banduka flowers. His hands and feet resembled java flowers. His nails looked like malika flowers. Yashoda then thought, Krishna's whole body seems to be made of blue lotus flowers. He does not appear to be mine. After thus deliberating within herself, Yashoda became stunned in amazement. This was the seed of Balaram's joke with Krishna. As you know, one time, Balaram joked with Krishna. He said, Mother Yashoda has a golden whitish hue, you know. Nanda Baba has a similar hue. I have a similar hue. So I am their son, but you don't have that color. So whose son are you? Of course, Krishna became very upset. He came running to Mother Yashoda, crying and saying, Balaram is accusing me that I am not your son. How can this be? Please tell me whose son I am. And then they console him very nicely to prove that actually he is their son. The beautiful, soft, curly hairs on the right side of Krishna's chest resemble the tender stems of a lotus. Seeing the mark of Shivatsa on his chest, Yashoda thought it was breast milk that had previously spilled out of his mouth. She tried unsuccessfully to remove these milk stains with the edge of her cloth. Struck with wonder, Yashoda thought that this must be the sign of a great personality. Observing the sign of Lakshmi, a small golden line, on the left side of Krishna's chest, Yashoda thought a small yellow bird had made a nest amidst the leaves of a tamal tree. Could this be a streak of lightning resting on a rain cloud? Or could it be a golden streak? Or could it be the golden streaks marking a black gold-testing stone? Krishna's delicate, leaf-like hands and feet, glowing pink like the rising sun, look like clusters of lotus flowers floating in the Yamuna. Sometimes Yashoda saw the curly, dark blue locks of baby Krishna as a swarm of bumblebees surrounding his face. Intoxicated from drinking too much honey nectar, the bees just hovered in the sky. His thick, beautiful blue hair appeared like the dark night. The two lotus eyes of Krishna looked like a pair of blue lotus buds. His cheeks resembled two huge bubbles floating in a lake of liquefied blue sapphires. Krishna's attractive ears looked like a pair of fresh, unfurled leaves growing on a blue creeper. The tip of Krishna's dark nose appeared like the sprout of a tree, and his nostrils looked like bubbles in the Yamuna River, the daughter of the sun god. Yamuna is the daughter of the sun god. His lips resembled a pair of red Java flower buds. Krishna's chin rivaled a pair of ripe red jambu fruits. Seeing the extraordinary beauty of her son fulfilled the purpose of her eyes and submerged Yashoda in an ocean of bliss. The elderly Brajabasi ladies addressed Brajarajanandan, Jai Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai. The elderly Brajabasi ladies addressed Brajarajananda, O most fortunate one, you fathered a son. Previously, Nanda Maharaj had felt deeply aggrieved over his long-standing inability to obtain a son. His heart was like a small lake that had completely dried up during a long, hot summer. But when Nanda Maharaj heard of his son's birth, he felt as if the dry lake of his heart had become blessed with a sudden downpour of nectar. The gentle sound of Krishna's voice removed all his grief and lamentation. Now he bathed in the rains of bliss, swam in the ocean of nectar, and felt embraced by the joyful stream of the celestial Ganges. Eager to see his son, Nanda's body thrilled with astonishment and waves of ecstasy as he stood outside the maternity room. Because he had accumulated heaps of pious activities, it appeared that the king of Vrindavan was now shaking hands with the personification of pious deeds. What a nice explanation. Anxiously standing in the background, Yogamaya induced Nanda Maharaj to enter the maternity room. He rushed to see his son, the personified seed of condensed bliss. What explanation. It seemed that all the auspiciousness of the three worlds now resided within Krishna. the original cause of everything. Nanda saw his son as a perfectly charming person. The kajal surrounding Krishna's eyes looked like lines on a black creeper of beauty. As the very embodiment of Nanda's good fortune, Sri Krishna bloomed like a beautiful flower in a garden of desire trees. The Aparijita flower, there's a flower called the Parijata flower. This one is called the Aparijata flower, is compared to the body of the Queen of Vrindavan. Her son is like the representative of the Upanishads that are compared to the fruit of the desire creepers. By seeing his glorious son, Nanda felt that he had attained happiness, perfection, and fulfillment of all his desires. Meeting the embodiment of bliss overwhelmed Nanda with immeasurable satisfaction. He stood motionless, stunned, his hair stood erect, and tears flowed from his eyes. He appeared like a person carved in stone or a figure drawn in a painting. For some time, Nanda Maharaj remained in this semi-conscious state like a sleeping man about to awaken. Upananda, Sunanda, and other relatives felt extremely joyful while observing the best of brahmanas perform the rites of purification for Krishna's birth. To ensure his son's welfare, Nanda Maharaj donated newborn calves to each and every brahmin, thus turning their homes into abodes of Surabhi cows. Newborn calves to every one of the brahmins. It's hard to have just one newborn calf in your castle. These cows had gold and silver-plated horns and hooves, and jeweled necklaces adorning their necks. In addition, Brajapati Nanda filled the courtyards of their homes with hills of gold, jewels, and sesame seeds. Wow. Talk about opulence. While Nanda distributed charity, the Kamadhenus, touchstones, and desire trees lost their power to produce valuable items in comparison to Nanda Baba. Wow. Even the jewel-producing oceans lost their stock of jewels, and the goddess of fortune, the abode of lotuses, had all but one lotus in her hand. Everything was going. The auspicious news of Krishna's wonderful appearance spread in all directions by word of mouth. Delight danced in the hearts of Nanda, his brothers Upananda and Sunanda, and all the other gopas. The gopas brought many varieties of delicious dairy products such as milk, yogurt, butter, wet cheese, and hard cheese in jewel-studded pots. I wonder if this wet cheese is like cream cheese. It might be something like that. Anyway, never heard of wet cheese. It's amazing. The pots were tied to the ends of bamboo poles with jute straps and carried on their shoulders. Bedecked with many precious jeweled ornaments, the gopas appeared very handsome. They dressed in beautiful yellow cloth, defeating the brilliance of lightning, and held staffs topped with gold and jewels in their lotus hands. As a great ocean spreads its waves in all directions, the birth of Krishna filled the Brajavasis with unbounded bliss. The gopas and gopis enjoyed a grand festival by happily eating and by splashing each other's bodies with a mixture of yogurt, butter, milk, and condensed milk. Wow. These are prasadam devotees. This is one very important reason why everybody should dress very nicely today. Especially for the festival this evening. Everybody should come really very nicely dressed. The society girls visiting Nanda Maharaj's house experienced more happiness than they had ever felt since their birth. Their minds saturated with joy and satisfaction. Hearing the delighted description of Krishna's birth carried away the chariots of their minds and made them abandon all other duties. They became possessed with a desire to see Krishna. Sparkling rubies hung from the necklaces adorning the society girls. Their diamond-studded armlets shone I think it's meant shone more beautifully than drops of crystal clear water. Their jewel inlaid golden bangles boasted unparalleled elegance. For this unique festival, they took out some highly ornamental waist belts from their jeweled box and tied them around their hips. Normally they wouldn't wear this, but for this, they brought out all their fancy jewelry. The sweet jingling of the waist belts resting on their broad hips enhanced the beauty of these society girls. They attracted the minds of everyone within their bulky golden anklets, loosened hair braids, and graceful gait, which resembled the smooth gliding of swans. Their minds entered a state of enchantment as they gazed upon the captivating beauty of Krishna's transcendental body. To worship Krishna, they brought golden trays full of auspicious articles such as fruits, flowers, yogurt, durva glass, uncooked rice, and jewel-bedecked lamps. They covered their offering plates with splendid yellow silk cloth and held them in their soft lotus hands. Their jeweled ankle bells vibrated pleasantly as they walked. Beholding the astounding beauty of the delicate baby, the society girls considered the purpose of their eyes fulfilled. They perceived Krishna's perfect birth to be like the appearance of the leaves of an important herbal medicine. Krishna resembled a blue lotus floating high. Incorrect words here. I'm going to try and see if I can read correctly. Krishna resembled a blue lotus floating high in the lake of his mother's parental affection. After bestowing their blessings for Krishna's prosperity, they worshipped Krishna with fresh flowers and a constant shower of loving glances. Look what they worship with. The loving glances. With great enthusiasm, the society girls glorified Brajeshwari Yashoda, since she had attained the essence of all good fortune by having Krishna as her son. Leaving the maternity room, the society girls entered the assembly hall of Nanda Maharaj's palace. Their faces looked exceedingly beautiful as they sung melodious songs, which resembled the soft, sweet humming of the bees moving amidst a cluster of lotus flowers. As the guests bathed in a nectar shower produced by these soothing sounds, overwhelmed with love, they filled their lotus palms with fragrant oil, turmeric paste, and fresh butter, and started smearing each other's faces and bodies. They looked very attractive with smiling faces and glittering white teeth. Their red lips seemed more beautiful than red banduka flowers. Remember, Krishna's was compared to the red banduka flowers. Here, the society girls' lips are considered to be even more beautiful. This incredible display of elegance smashed the pride of the goddess of fortune of the three worlds. Carried away with joy over Krishna's birth, they fearlessly threw cheese balls, butter, and yogurt at each other. One could mistake the white balls of cheese for hailstones, solidified moonlight, or white mud from the floor of the milk ocean. Then they showered each other with buttermilk, aromatic oils, and water mixed with turmeric. Cymbals, drums, berries, and big drums vibrated auspicious sounds with specific melodies. A celestial concert of precise poetic meters, proper rhythms, and metric compositions suddenly manifested there. So now even the music is very scientifically being composed. The musical ensemble inspired the society girls to sing and dance in mirth and merriment. Though not good singers, By the will of the Lord, they sang with great virtuoso. Then wonderful songs filled Nanda Maharaj's heart with joy. The combined vibrations of the Brahmins chanting Vedic hymns, the recitation of the Puranic lore, and the Panegyrists' prayers transformed the ethers into Shabda Brahma. The joy of Krishna's birth, the joy of Krishna's birth celebration taxed the brains of Nanda's capital city as they swelled to the brim with milk, yogurt, and other auspicious liquids. So they had the drains, no? What they call the drains to let out the flood waters. So now all of them are flowing, overflowing with milk, yogurt, and other auspicious liquids. Soon rivers of this nectar flooded the streets of the town and permeated the entire atmosphere with a sweet fragrance. Disguising themselves as birds, the demigods descended to Brajapura to happily drink the flood of nectar. The Brajavasis decorated their cows with gold and jeweled ornaments. Then in great excitement, they smeared them with oil, fresh butter, and turmeric paste. Beholding Krishna in their hearts, these fortunate cows looked like the essence of the earth's auspiciousness. The whole world resounded with their jubilant bellowing. Absorbed in the ecstasy of Krishna's birth, they forgot about eating and drinking. The festival drowned the gopis in an ocean of joy. After offering oil, vermilion, garlands, and utensils in charity to all the assembled gopis, Rohini, the wife of Vasudev, asked them to bless Krishna. Upon completion of the sacrifice, Upananda and other relatives felt constant happiness while taking their baths. Keeping the king of Vrindavan in the front, Nanda's relatives offered opulent cloth, jeweled ornaments, tambula, garlands, and sandalwood paste to the guests. Then they humbly requested all in attendance to bless that wonderfully auspicious boy who had appeared in Vrindavan. Now this is the last page. Oops. Actually, that was the last page. It says Hare Krishna at the end. just one more part. This is nectar from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Tika Darshini, Tika of Sanatan Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami on Janmasthami. I'm just reading the translations. One should perform a festival of the birthday of Lord Hari, which falls in Bhatrapad, August, September month, on a Dwadasi day of Shravan, July, August. This is a distinction between two groups that feel that it is a different time that Krishna appeared. Some feel that he appeared in the month of Shravan, and our acharyas say that they actually appeared in the month of Bhadrapad, August, September. And of course, therefore, we celebrate in August, September. It is the duty of all Vaishnavas to fast on these days and to do specific great worship of the Supreme Lord. Great kings such as Prahlad had fasted on the most dear day of Lord Hari or Lord Sri Krishna's named Janmashtami, the birthday of Lord Krishna, to develop intense love for Krishna. One should certainly fast on such an auspicious day of Lord Krishna's birth named Krishnashtami every year to please Lord Sri Krishna who holds a disc in his hand. O greatly intelligent, any person, even with the knowledge of Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami, who does not fast, takes his next birth as a snake in a thick forest. Remember, the fasting is done by various methods. Most important thing is that we should fast from grains and beans. That is most important. Then, of course, if you can fast from edible items, that's great. And if you can fast from milk and water, that's even better. And if you can fast without taking anything, just what we call nirjal fast, well, that's really great. But one has to remember, our system is that we are in a service mode. Like Prabhupada was saying the other day, I was describing how worship is with motive, but service is with love. Since we are in a service mode, it is very important that our bodies are feeling happy in the service of the Supreme Lord. So if you have to eat something, there's nothing wrong in eating. The idea is not to eat grains and beans. If someone fasts on Janmashtami day with devotion, he attains the abode of Lord Sri Vishnu. These are all from, actually not just from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, by the way. These are from various scriptures that are actually quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. For example, the first one that I said one should perform a festival was from the Kalika Puran, where Vyasadeva is speaking. The second was from the Skanda Puran. Third was from the Skanda Puran. That last one that I said, if someone fasts on Janmashtami day, also from the Skanda Puran. And now from the Brahma Puran, it is stated, this day, Janmashtami day, removes all kinds of sins. Specifically, in Kali Yuga, if someone fasts on this day, remains awake overnight, and worships Lord Sri Hari properly, those people are worshipable. They become a worshipable person. So we have a great opportunity like that, because in our case, Janmashtami finishes around 2 o'clock in the morning, and then of course at 4:30, Mangalarti starts again. So if it is possible to stay awake, then that's great. But again, remember, we're in the service mode. It's very important that we celebrate Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja very nicely, which is not considered here in this situation, because in our case, we have a big festival the next day again, because Lord Srila Prabhupada's appearance day is actually the very most important day of our lives, because it is by His mercy that we have come to this position of being able to serve in the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So for that reason, if you have to take some rest, that is fine. And we still get the benefit, the full benefit. You still get the full benefit because it is being done for a higher principle. Therefore, the benefit is not lost. Then from the Brahma Puran again, fasting on the day of Lord Hari is the most auspicious thing, the topmost austerity and the topmost meritorious action. So encouragement is being given for fasting. These are very important words, of course. Then, from the Yajnavalkya Smriti, if on the eighth day of the dark fortnight at midnight there is Rohini constellation, which is true, today there is Rohini constellation, on that day one should fast. But if it is combined with the seventh day, it should be given up in all circumstances. This is just again Vedas describing when the days are mixed, then we don't do the same thing. We do things on the day of the pure Advent day. And then finally from the Vishnu Dharma and Agni Puran, there are two kinds of living entities created. One is divine and the other is demoniac. The devotees of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, are said to be divine personalities. Those who are not His devotees are addressed as demoniac. Jai Lord Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahotsava ki jai. Hare Krishna. Anybody like to say something? Ask a question? Okay, thank you very much. We'll start with the bhajans and kirtans now. Thank you. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahotsava ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.